It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
All right, everybody, the time has come. Yes, KSL's Unrivaled is underway. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. It is draft day. As we watch the television with bated breath on a day like this, normally we just kind of watch and see how these teams are going to stack up with who they've picked. But, of course, local interest has taken over today. Zach Wilson was officially taken as the number 2 overall pick to the New York Jets. And that's where we're going to start our show with the 705 Cut. Let's do it right here.
The Cut at 705. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
All right. Brought to you by Wasatch Medical Clinic. Struggling with ED? Sick of pills? Visit wasatchmedicalclinic.com for a free offer. Scott Mitchell, the only person in my life who's ever been drafted in the NFL draft. And so, of course, we bring in Scott, of course, to see. Not a shocker, of course, Scott, but at the end of everything, I found myself going, hey, you know what? Good for that kid for getting drafted where he did with the New York Jets. And Zach Wilson going out there high-fiving all the Jets fans as he was announced as the second overall pick in the draft. Pretty cool day for that young man.
It's actually unbelievable, Alex. My volume was turned down because I'm listening to the draft. No, it really is. It's remarkable. And you could just see the excitement in his eyes. And he's pumped up about this. And I'm just, he's got the personality. He's got the confidence that he can go to a place like, New York and really handle it. And, you know, it's just so funny that these people, they go, the pundits, they're like, oh, well, he's from Draper, Utah, and he played in Provo, Utah. And the media, like, you know, is so rough and mean. And it's like, look, forget the media. I'm so tired. It's kind of annoying. I just heard this for about the millionth time. And I grew up in Utah, and I grew up in a smaller town than Provo and Draper, and I went, and it was just fine. Yeah, they're going to question you. They're going to question everything you do. So what? Go out and play. It's your time. It's your chance. And by the way, I live in Draper, Utah now, and it's just fine, really. It's just fine.
My favorite thing about today, out of all this, of course, BYU tweeted out, former BYU quarterback Zach Wilson picked overall number 2 in the NFL draft. That's a big deal for the school to be able to put that out there and have that type of recognition. But my favorite was the Corner Canyon High School tweet. Former Corner Canyon alum Zach Wilson gets picked 2nd in the NFL draft to the New York Jets. And I thought, that's a fun day. In the end, I kept looking at his family and going, okay, say what you will about the kid. These guys, they put it all together. They figured it all out. All of the dreams come true type stuff that we were wondering about when he signed with BYU, the pie in the sky dreams that every young quarterback has going into college and maybe at BYU, they actually came true for him, and that's exactly what he said when he was asked about it.
True for me.
Zach, New York, it's a big stage. What is it about your personality, your mentality, that you know you're the right fit?
Yeah, I know these guys need a good quarterback, a good leader, and I think I got those qualities, and I can't wait to go in there. I love the coaching staff. I love everything they have to offer, and I can't wait to get to New York City.
Zach, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
See, he's already learned. He didn't even answer the question. He said exactly what he wanted to say, and that's what he should do, and he should always do that. So he's learned really well, and it was just an impressive thing. But this is why I think Zach Wilson will do well. And it's not the Jets, and there's a lot of things that, you know,
this is in spite of the Jets, right? Is that what
you're
saying?
Yes, okay. It really is. But what it is he's a guy that says, look, I'm okay if I'm not playing well. I'm okay if I'm struggling. I'm okay because I'm just going to figure out a way to get better. And for him to go every single weekend during COVID, drive to Southern California and work out with John Beck, his quarterback guru, it speaks volumes. Because he improved. He improved dramatically, and he did it because he was willing to just admit, look, I don't have all the answers. I don't know what to do. I don't know everything, but I'm willing to work. I'm willing to figure out what I don't know and do it a whole lot better. And I just think it's a great trait because the NFL will expose what you can't do, and you got to decide, you know, am I going to figure it out or am I not? I'm really, really intrigued. This is going to be a fun thing for us to watch over the next few years, how he does there, because he's not going like he's not going to be anonymous. Like when you're with the New York Jets, it's like you're not anonymous. People right. are going to know about you, and this will be fun to watch and see how Zach Wilson does.
There was a little bit of a shakeup this morning, and we're going to jump more into that, I think, a little bit later, but the San Francisco 49ers took Trey Lance at that number three spot. Were you surprised? When you said they moved up to three because they had a person in mind. They had a guy who they felt was the perfect fit for them, and they weren't going to let anything happen because they knew that Zach Wilson was probably going to go to the Jets, according to Scott, because of some under-the-table information from one coaching staff, former coaching staff to another. And that's fine, but Zach Wilson goes number two. Trey Lance goes number three. This is after this morning report, Scott, that Aaron Rodgers was apparently in the mix. Well, not him necessarily, but at least some deals were apparently trying to be made behind the scenes. The 49ers had apparently offered that number three pick and a lot of other picks to the Green Bay Packers for Aaron Rodgers, and so all these things. Like I don't want it to be. I don't want it to be, the straightforward draft that everybody thinks that it is. Trey Lance getting picked there at number three. Were you surprised by that pick right off the bat there?
Well, look, when you trade up like the 49ers did, what they're saying, here's the deal. Penei Sewell just went to the Lions, by the way.
Hey, good for your old team.
Local ties here, and that's a good pick for the Lions.
Our best offensive lineman in a long time, I think, coming out of college. Yeah.
But so the 49ers, they moved up so early, and they clearly had something or someone in their mind. Clearly, I mean, it wasn't even, that was obvious, and they showed their hand. But everyone's for sale.
that's what I was very interested in.
Everyone's for sale. So all of a sudden, it's like we never thought about a possibility of Aaron Rodgers. And now that comes to the table, and it's like, you know, it's something to think through. And I think for the 49ers, what they're seeing is, I don't think they see this as like he's not a short-term solution for them. And they have a quarterback. And Jimmy Garoppolo took him to the Super Bowl, and a lot of people were so in love with Jimmy Garoppolo a few years ago, and now everyone's just kind of turned tail on him. So he clearly has the ability. Like he can play. He can do. You know, he can get a team to a Super Bowl, and that's something. But they've got the thing with Trey Lance where he doesn't have to play. He and this will be really good for him to sit and watch and observe. But he's the perfect fit for Kyle Shanahan's offense. But he's a guy that doesn't have to play. And he may end up being in the best position of all of these quarterbacks.
Not the pressure to perform right off the bat, which is what Zach Wilson is in. And, I was thinking about it, too, when I was watching Zach Wilson. I was extremely excited for the guy. And I went, man, it's amazing that this guy got picked second. And you just couldn't help but be happy for he and his family as they were all over there hugging each other. And I thought, man, that actually would be an amazing day to be a part of, an amazing thing to be a part of as he goes out there. And and of course, it was very fitting that Susie Colbert was interviewing a Jets quarterback. It was, of course, famously Broadway Joe who said, I could just kiss you to Susie Colbert on the sidelines. So Zach Wilson putting on a good show to not trip over himself there.
Zach Wilson's the highest drafted quarterback in the modern draft era.
By the Jets, yes.
By the Jets. Joe Namath was
the last one.
He was AFL. No, even
I'm
higher.
He was the highest draft pick even since 1965. Is what I'm saying. That's a
right.
There've been nobody picked that high. You would have thought the Jets, being so terrible over the years, they would have gotten a number one or number two pick at quarterback.
Yeah, it's just remarkable. You know, when I see Zach Wilson and I watched him going up there and they showed his family and all of those things, I've always looked at that, what that feels like from a player's perspective. Like, it, you know, yeah, I didn't get drafted where I wanted, but I got drafted in the NFL. And that was an amazing time for me, an amazing moment, and a dream you just have. You have in your life, and you're just like, you know, I did it. But what I saw and what I've seen and appreciated lately is what it meant to his parents. Like, I never thought for a minute how exciting my own parents must have been. And I was having a conversation with my mom not long ago, and she just said, it was the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah, and when we watch, like, we kind of laugh about Lisa Wilson always being on TV with a big smile on her face and praying and doing all this stuff, and Mike Wilson there right front and center, and then you go, oh, these are like the most supportive parents ever. These are exactly like we want to be with our kids, and yeah, certainly we would be if our kids were in this position. Let's take the break here. We'll come back. More draft coverage when we return. You'll be able to hear the pick when it actually happened, and also all the other guys who've been going everywhere else and what Scott thinks about that. Stay with us on KSL's Unrivaled.
With the second pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the New York Jets select Zach Wilson, quarterback, BYU.
All right, folks, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. That's right, that is real. That has happened. Zach Wilson, number two pick to the New York Jets. And as I watched that, Alex,
yeah,
man, I was excited for the guy. I really was.
He looked awesome in that suit. Cool,
yeah.
Look, here's the thing, too. So I'll tell you something.
The moment did not look bigger than Zach Wilson. He didn't look intimidated. He didn't look nervous.
That's right. He did the thing where he goes over. He riles it up with the weird Jets fans. And I mean weird. he goes over there and starts – because that's a tough crowd. I mean, you can hear in there, before they even start announcing the name, you can hear the boos. Boos are just happening. And then so you get a mixed reaction when you hear Zach. It doesn't matter. Listen, Zach Wilson knows because they've talked to him about it. Look, kid, and I think he's been really well prepared. Like you said, he goes,
I'll tell you what he's not prepared for.
What is it?
I will tell you, Alex.
The mean fans? Because
nope.
Those guys,
yes,
he went right over to him.
What's going to happen to him is he's going to get booed. I'm just telling you.
Doesn't
be a
matter
time,
when, yeah.
And it'll be like, ooh. Ooh, because Zach Wilson's life, he didn't get booed at Corner Canyon. He did not get booed at BYU, and certainly didn't last year. I mean, he didn't get booed by anyone because there's no fans. But the first time, it's not the away crowd. That's fine. That's what that is. But I'm just telling you, when the hometown folks start saying, yeah, you better get it together, buddy, and you're like, you don't understand. There's so much more going on here. Why are you booing me? This is, you know, and they go, we don't care. We just want to win. And you're the quarterback. You figure it out, and you make us win. Otherwise, we're going to boo you.
Okay, so here's what we have so far. We're still in the top 10 of the picks in the first round here. Number one, of course, was Trevor Lawrence. I'm going to come back to that one. Zach Wilson to the Jets. Oh, by the way, Trevor Lawrence to the Jags. The Jets get Zach Wilson, pick two. The 49ers get Trey Lance, pick three. The Falcons got Kyle Pitts, a tight end from Florida. Pretty interesting they didn't end up taking a quarterback there. Makes you wonder that if they wouldn't have taken Trey Lance to the 49ers, if Atlanta was going to pick him up maybe. The Bengals got Ja'Marr Chase, who was the number one wide receiver out there in the draft. The Dolphins get Jalen Waddle, another wide receiver out of Alabama. Penei Sewell, as Scott mentioned, a product of Pineview High School down there in St. George, went to Oregon. He's the number seven overall pick. Could you imagine two kids from Utah at 2 and 7 in the first round of the NFL draft? It's pretty cool. And then J.C. Horn, a cornerback out of South Carolina, goes to the Carolina Panthers. The Broncos are on the clock now, and I'm interested to see what a team like the Broncos are going to do because they've shaken things up a little bit at the quarterback position with Bridgewater coming into Denver. And I think that a lot of fans are probably at least feeling a little bit better about that. I want to go back to the first pick of the draft, though. I want to go back to Trevor Lawrence. We haven't said a thing about him. We've been focusing on Zach Wilson so much. Let me ask you, Scott, what you think about what a trajectory for a guy going to the Jacksonville Jaguars, a relative – like, not just a – it's a franchise that there certainly is already a lot less pressure than New York, mostly just because – nobody thinks of Jacksonville, but now you've got the number one overall and one of the highest touted quarterbacks we've seen coming out of college, and then Urban Meyer, one of the highest touted coaches in the history of college football. What are your anticipations on the horizon for the Jacksonville Jaguars? Is this kind of whole situation a bust, or does it really have the possibility to take off?
Oh, no. I love Trevor Lawrence, and I always have. And he's just got that traditional NFL arm. And it's not just his arm. It's his ability to move around. And he's a guy, like, he's gonna move. He's, you know, he's going to get bigger because he kind of lost a little bit of weight. But he'll be at the right weight and structure to handle the NFL. But he's a complete player. He's succeeded at every single level that he's been in. And I think the best thing that Trevor Lawrence has going for him is Urban Meyer. And Urban Meyer is a great coach. And Urban Meyer is going to figure out how to do it at the NFL. He's just wired that way. He's just focused. He's driven. This is the challenge of his lifetime, you know. And Urban, that's what Urban needs. Urban needs to be challenged. He's not a guy that's gonna, you know, he's not Lavelle Edwards. He's not gonna sit at BYU forever. He's a guy that needs to move around. And he said something about Trevor. He said, "Look, I'm not playing the guy." He goes, "I'm not." He mentioned Alex Smith and how Alex just got beat up his rookie year, and he just said, "I'm not gonna put a guy through that." And I don't know that I agree with that. I really don't. I think you should play a guy early on. But Urban's come out and said that, you know, he's gonna treat him with kid gloves, and he's not gonna put him out in a situation where he's not ready to handle it.
Yeah, and I wonder if like in a situation like this where you're the number one overall pick. First of all, I was watching this thing live on my phone, and I'm watching it and I'm going, why on earth are they taking every second of the 10 allotted minutes? And I was like, oh, this is brilliant, because all they do is talk about you and your team in the primest of prime time on the NFL draft. Take every second that you can. Get your pick in. Make it be late. As long as they're talking about you, showing B-roll of Urban Meyer and of Trevor Lawrence, they're talking about your team that never gets talked about, and this could be a great chance for PR for you to be able to walk up there and say, hey, we've been talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars and this first pick for as long as we can remember since the end of the football season. And I thought it was the best way to do it. And every team now at some point goes, look, we're going to take advantage of this spotlight. But I thought it was a brilliant move by the Jacksonville Jaguars to go, we're just going to keep you wondering about it up until the very last second.
Yeah, the NFL does that.
They're the ones who because they want to keep the ratings up and get everybody tuned in. And
why the NFL is successful is because they create superstar players. They create interest in people you want to watch. If you noticed, all that was talked about was Trevor Lawrence, the Jacksonville Jaguars. So it was this whole thing about, promoting a player, and he's the next generation. He's the new face, the new star of the NFL. And so they're looking, how can we, because the highest audience participation is going to be early on in the draft. Let's watch it early on, because, you know, rounds two and three, the diehards, you know, look at, but not early. Everyone's looking in early on. And so it's just a program orchestrated by the NFL. Everyone, it's like they could have announced it. The commissioner could have said, welcome to the draft. Jacksonville's drafted Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
But that doesn't build, and so it's an NFL thing is really.
It's less of the, they might have had the pick in, and then they just said, hey, we're going to sit on it until the very last second here. Yeah. We're going to make everybody watch the clock tick down all the way to be able to see what happens with this team. All right.
What I find interesting about all of it is why he didn't go to the draft. Why Trevor Lawrence didn't go to the draft.
You know,
because that's kind of one of those things you just do.
Yeah, I wondered the same thing. And maybe it was there could be a lot of factors in there. They showed him at his house with his family and everything. And I thought the same exact thing. I'm going, this is your one time. Do you think it's that fake humility thing, Scott, that you good quarterbacks got really good at when you're in the thing where you go, oh, no, I didn't want to take all the attention away. I just wanted to just say, I'm ready to go to work, coach. I'm ready to go to work. I can't stand that stuff. The fake humility you guys do is as bad as is just have the giant ego. Everybody knows you're a quarterback. Just have it. Come on.
Yeah, to answer your question, I really don't. I doubt it is. It's probably COVID related. Who knows? Or, you know, maybe he's recovering. But as you were talking, I was thinking about going to work, right? So this is all exciting. Zach Wilson, they're in New York. I'm sure they're going to have a ball. They're going to have a good time. They're going to celebrate. And they should. I mean, it's an amazing time. Then he's going to be like, yeah, but when do I actually get like my contract signed?
So like,
And that'll be a wait. And then it'll be, okay, when do I get to actually play in a game?
When do I show up to New York? Yeah, when do I do all these things? Yeah.
And I'm just telling you, the first time he runs onto the field and he gets in that huddle and he walks to the line of scrimmage in an NFL game, oh, my goodness. That I'm just telling you, it is the most surreal thing in the world. It's something I don't know that you consciously actually remember.
How does that work, by the way, with the – Do you walk up to Roger Goodell and
nervous.
Go, hey, Roger, thanks so much. You shake his hand. You go, that's my wiring. That's my bank wiring information right there. I don't know if
you don't get paid until after you sign a contract.
I know. That's what I'm
and
like,
it's
hey.
Better. It's better now because they have it slotted. So these guys. But in the past, everyone waited for that first.
And
it took some guys, you know, a lot of guys didn't sign. And that's the worst thing as a rookie, to not sign and hold out. Oh, my goodness. It's just, you want to get going so bad.
We're going to take the break here. And when we come back, the Cowboys, by the way, at the number 10 pick on the clock, about to make their pick. We'll have that update. Plus, Bill Riley, voice of the Utes, going to join us. A rare moment for the Utes not to have a lot of names in the draft, like zero. And that's okay with Utah fans right now, considering where their team's at, considering where a lot of these guys could end up. We'll talk to Bill about the possibility of these guys right now, this team, and where they could end up if the sky's the limit for them. Stay right here with us. More to go. It's KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News.
Parting can be such sweet sorrow. Saying goodbye to one who's always been there for you, keeping you warm at night and cool, except for when she breaks down, of course. You've changed her filter so many times, or maybe not quite as often as you should have. At Whipple Service Champions, let us ease the parting blow. With a free second opinion, we're great at extending the life of older equipment. We'll tell you if she's properly installed, properly sized for your home, and if there are other issues, free. If it is time to say goodbye to one so dear, we'll give you a better price, guaranteed. Because until we get too busy, we'll give you a free furnace when you buy a central air conditioner. If it's time to move on, you deserve to love again. Call Whipple Service Champions, 801-444-FAST. Don't rebound into something worse. Call 801-444-3278. For emergencies, when you call today, we come today.
Whipple, they come, air condition your home.
Now more than ever, Utah teachers need to know how much they're appreciated. So KSL and Bird Brothers Tire and Service have built the Teacher Tribute Wall. Hundreds of teachers are being honored, plus each month, one lucky teacher wins a $500 gift card from Cypress Credit Union, $200 in groceries from Macy's, and season tickets to Hale Center Theater. Say thanks to your teacher today at kslnewsradio.com/teacher from Bird Brothers and KSL News Radio.
Owning a business comes with pressure. There's a limit to what I can do and still keep employees engaged. Fortunately, there's Insperity. They put 30-plus years of HR experience to work to help me with hiring, training, HR administration, and compliance, while giving my employees competitive benefit options. And because I'm able to focus on other priorities, my employees can thrive and my business can grow. With Insperity, nothing seems impossible. Insperity, HR that makes a difference.
Convenience. It means so much to so many different people. But as someone who likes to play in the garden, convenience still means you go to the big box store and buy the best quality garden soil, compost, or mulch, and then someone conveniently loads it into your car. You take it home, and then you have to conveniently unload it and then clean up your car or truck. Sound about right? No. Convenience is when you get on the phone with a dirt bag and place your order for Garden Soil Plus, compost, or mulch, and then they deliver it right to your driveway. Convenience is a one-cubic yard sealable bag so you can use it when you want to, one shovel at a time, or a truckload in bulk delivered right to you. From Garden Soil Plus to compost to mulch, wood chips, or cobble, convenience is thedirtbag.com. Just get online and then conveniently get in the garden with the one dirt bag you'll love, thedirtbag.com, thedirtbag.com.
Are you one of the millions of homeowners who haven't refinanced yet? If so, I'm here to tell you it's not too late. Hi, I'm Wesley Hogan with Westland Financial. Although the lowest rates may be in our rearview mirror, as the economy recovers from the biggest economic shock of our lifetime, rates still remain near historic lows. In fact, with the dramatic increase in home values, this may be the perfect time to put that new home equity to work. Take advantage of our cash-out refi program and pay off high-rate credit cards, car loans, or other high-interest rate debt. Or finally make those home improvements you put on hold for so long. Best of all, we can do this with no closing costs. That's right. Whether it's a conventional, FHA, or VA loan, we'll pay for your title, settlement, lender, and recording fees. So call Westland at 888-455-3669. That's 888-455-3669. It's the biggest no-brainer in the history of mankind. 888-455-3669.
NMLS number 3304. Not all loans apply. Equal housing lender.
Hey, hon. What you doing with your phone?
Do flowers have best friends?
I don't know.
Hey, look.
Whoa.
Some answers can only be found in nature. Discover the unsearchable. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a trail near you. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. I'm Scott Mitchell. He's Alex Keery. Apparently, Peyton Manning ran into Trevor Lawrence at the Masters. And he actually said, look, you got to play every play next year. You tell Coach Meyer, you got to be in on every situation. You can't miss. Can't miss at all. He says, because someone's got to come in there and break my rookie interceptions in a season by a rookie quarterback. So make sure you're playing every down. And I actually agree with Peyton Manning just from the standpoint of, man, I think these quarterbacks today, you watch the pro days, you watch these guys are so well prepared to go play in the NFL.
What makes it different from when you were preparing to go?
Just mechanically, physically, so much emphasis is put on the draft. And when I went in the draft, it was nothing like what it is right now.
Well, do you think that, given all the things that you had talent wise, if you had all the same tools that the kids have now, I say the kids, guys like Zach Wilson, you think about like quarterbacking schools and all these different things and different workouts and how much we've learned just about working out and all those things. Do you think you would have been in the same spot or even better with the?
I'd have been in a much better. I'd have been in a much better spot because I was the first year juniors came out of the draft. So they didn't really have all the in-depth scouting on players like they do now. And the year I came out wasn't as good a year as the year I had before. Had it been a year earlier, who knows where I would have gone in the draft because I had a phenomenal season. I had players ask me after the fact, say, look, if you could go back, what would you do different? And I said, I would prepare for the combine and for the draft completely different. I didn't understand the significance of it. I wasn't really as prepared for it as I could have been. And absolutely I would have. And I was in a tough situation at Utah because I was on an island. Like there was no one there to help me, support me. I was just, I was out there all alone. So I just had to figure it out. And these guys, they go like Zach Wilson went to California right as the season was over and he's working out and he's training and he's doing everything he can. So when he does his pro day, it's like, he's really shining. And I just didn't have the good fortune of even knowing that at the time.
One of the things that I've, watched during all this is all these guys, how mature they are, how mature they have to be. I mean, it's pretty rare nowadays that, you get guys who are knuckleheads. You're still going to get that. But the allowance of knuckleheadery, is that a thing that you guys, kind of performed in your day? The amount of goofing off and messing around and almost screwing up your life, that happened a lot more because now everybody's under the microscope. All these guys have to be on their best behavior all the time. And that's the part that I think a lot of guys like would have just been weeded out from your class. A lot of those guys who are like, you know, we knew they had their issues, but they just we barely knew about them because of how because your social media is just an absolute magnifying glass now. As we watch the Cowboys, who took the number 12 draft pick, and they get themselves a linebacker in the process of that 12th pick from the Eagles. So I think they got the draft pick from. I was thinking about this too, Scott, with the Cowboys making that pick there, and they showed the war room, and I thought, what a difference a year makes in this draft. There are people in Cleveland. There are people in Cleveland. Jimmy's now, they have them kind of semi-socially distanced there inside that arena there in Cleveland. And
this is a good pick for the Cowboys too.
It's a
great pick
for them. I think that you know, Sean Lee just retired.
Yeah.
And so now they look at it and they pick up Micah Parsons out of Penn State. This is a guy who could have been the number one overall pick, and it probably wouldn't have been a dumb pick.
Again, I just keep seeing these really good players that are picked. You know, this is a huge get for the Cowboys, you know, for a lot of reasons. He's a guy that will make plays for him. But going back a little bit, the Bears taking Justin Fields, that might be the best pick in the draft. Seriously, the Bears are so close in so many ways, and they need a little bit more consistent play from the quarterback. They got Andy Dalton, and they're going to have this young quarterback, Justin Fields. There's not going to be the pressure to play him. He's going to go to a good football team. He's going to be, you know, I know, he's going to be in the Midwest, you know, kind of close to Ohio State a little bit. The Bears fans they're going to be excited about Justin Fields. And the Bears haven't really been good at picking quarterbacks in the past. And this almost feels like this is a non-pressure pick for them. Like, I don't think there's the expectation. And I don't think that, I know he feels bad. I just know he feels bad. I know how it is when you think you're going to go somewhere and you go somewhere else and you feel like no one likes you. You feel like, oh, man, I'm garbage, you know. And that goes away quickly. I mean, because then you get rage, or you get like, you know, I want to prove everybody wrong kind of thing. And then you start to go, awesome, this is my opportunity. This is my chance. And I'm going to go make it happen. And you do. And so there'll be a lot of fun players to actually watch and see what happens with them as this, you know, after this draft and as they get into their careers.
Scott, we have just a few more minutes here, and this is normally where we do this in the show. It's our Unrivaled MVP, so let's just jump right in here.
KSL's Unrivaled. The Unrivaled MVP. Scott and Alex crowned tonight's most valuable player, according to Scott.
Uh-huh.
According to Alex.
Most valuable player.
All right. Scott, you want to go first here on the old MVPs? I don't know who you're going to have, but
my MVP was the Utah Jazz.
Oh, my heavens, we haven't even talked about the Jazz yet. It's been all draft coverage,
well,
man.
It's something we should talk about. Because
oh, my goodness. Did you watch that game last night?
They scored a record high 154 points ever. I didn't realize that's the most that they've ever scored.
I didn't know that either. I mean, it's an extremely high number. But you know what happened to me, too, is I was watching it. It looked like the Harlem Globetrotters, Washington Generals, you know, where it's like put in whomever. They just start throwing up threes, and they're not just going in. They're just falling through the rim with touching nothing but the net. And mine is very similar because 154 to 105. I sent my kid to bed at the end of the third quarter. I said, look, they've got 116 points at the end of three quarters. You're not going to miss anything. And he missed a couple of things. The highest points total ever scored by the Jazz in a game, franchise record. This is after abysmal offensive stretches too in these last two games against the Minnesota Timberwolves. They needed that as a boost.
Yeah, and it just felt like, you know, they couldn't miss. I mean, it was insane. It was a great win for them in the fact that Donovan Mitchell didn't play, Mike Conley didn't play, and you like to see, you know, you like to see a rebound. And this is a little bit probably the toughest stretch for the Jazz the rest of the season here, where they got these three road games in a row and of course, ending with Phoenix on Friday night. But I love the rebound. I love when the team comes back and answers when they've shot so poorly the last couple of games. And you almost feel like that they're, you know, they're just due for this. You know, it's like, okay, they missed so many the last couple of games. It's just, they're just due for this opportunity to you know, just kind of have just this explosive.
Well, that's what.
And I'd prefer to have a little bit more consistency, and I think that's what they've been. But it kind of felt like the Jazz were going to pull it out.
It's fortuitous you picked the Jazz, because I actually was picking Matt Thomas for the Utah Jazz.
Oh.
If you watched the game last night, Matt Thomas, he was picked up in the trade before the trade deadline, and he is a quote-unquote sharpshooter out of Toronto. They picked him up. He's a guy who played with George Niang, right, at Iowa State. They played together in college. They were roommates in college. So you go, okay, let's see what's going on. And he just has been getting no minutes. And when he does get in, he's just missing shots and everything. And he was 7 for 7 last night. And he had 17 points. He just kept throwing those threes up, and they were just falling, man. It was amazing. So the Jazz get the MVP from Scott. Matt Thomas gets the MVP from me. So we're going to take the break here. We'll come back. Sam Farnsworth from KSL5 Television is going to join us. We're going to talk a little bit about what you know, this whole draft has meant for his ridiculous Denver Broncos, and see if they can finally turn things around. Stay with us. More to go. It's KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio.
KSL FM Midvale, KSL Salt Lake City.
Eight o'clock at KSL News Radio. I'm Jason Tulin. KSL's top stories this hour. Not a huge surprise, but BYU quarterback Zach Wilson is headed to the Big Apple.
With the second pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the New York Jets select Zach Wilson, quarterback, BYU.
Wilson is the Jets' highest-drafted quarterback since Joe Namath in 1965. A majority of Utahns are ready and eager to return to entertainment venues, according to a recent poll. KSL News Radio's John Wojcik reports.
The data comes from a new Y2 Analytics survey posted in the Tribune. The survey found 9 in 10 Utahns already feel comfortable shopping at local businesses, and about two-thirds feel fine eating at restaurants. Additionally, most Salt Lake County residents are ready to once again head to entertainment venues. Lucky for them, a big show was just announced yesterday.
Garth Brooks, Rice-Eccles Stadium, an incomparable night never to be forgotten.
Less than half say they felt okay with going to a live sporting event or to the gym, although that could soon change as the state's vaccine rollout continues. John Wojcik, KSL News Radio.
A thinly populated area of Virginia outside is serving up Girl Scout cookies from the sky. ABC's Michelle Franson has the details.
Like other businesses, Girl Scout troops have had to adapt in this pandemic. Virginia Skyline Troop 224 taking innovation to new heights. The town of Christiansburg, just outside of Blacksburg, is already a testing site for commercial delivery drones operated by Wing. That's part of Google's parent company. So along with other deliveries, they're dropping those famous Girl Scout cookies. Sales slumped during lockdowns, but the troop rose to the challenge. In the future, you may even be able to add milk to that Thin Mints order if drone deliveries take off. Michelle Franz and ABC News.
Coming up, quick check of your weather forecast. That's next. KSL News Time, 8:02.
My boyfriend proposed with his grandmother's ring. It's stunning, but I just wasn't sure what wedding band would work with it. So we went to Shane Company to look at their huge selection. We knew we'd have a ton of options. The jewelry consultant helping us had a lot of great suggestions. She showed me different wedding bands that would work with my ring. Vintage bands, contour bands, floral bands. She had ideas I hadn't even thought of. I ended up getting 2 decorative diamond bands. They frame my heirloom ring beautifully, and the new bands give it an updated, elegant look with even more sparkle. I love it. My fiancé needed his wedding band, too. After looking at all the classic styles, like 14-karat gold and platinum, it was actually a band in a unique metal called tantalum that caught his eye. It's rugged and durable and totally fits his style. Now we're all set for the big day.
Now you have a friend in the jewelry business, Shane Company and ShaneCo.com. Open weekdays 10 till 8, Saturday 10 till 5, and Sunday noon till 5.
This is our shot to protect ourselves, our friends, and our families. This is our shot to keep kids in schools and keep our loved ones out of hospitals. This is our shot to travel again, to reopen businesses, and to get our fans back in the stands. The COVID-19 vaccine is up to 95% effective in fighting this virus, ensuring that we won't have to battle life-threatening symptoms, experience loss of work, or be burdened by expensive medical bills. Our top state doctors agree. This is our shot to get rid of this disease, achieve herd immunity, and get back to normal. So, get vaccination updates, information, and register for your shot at thisisourshot.com. It's here, it's effective, and it's totally free. This is our shot. Let's take it.
Go ductless and find your comfort zone with a revolutionary day and night constant comfort ductless home cooling and heating system. And turn hard to cool and heat rooms into year-round comfort zones. Day and night ductless systems are a simple upgrade and far more efficient than baseboards and wall heaters, saving you up to 50% on your energy costs. Ask your HVAC professional for day and night, or find a nearby day and night home comfort dealer at dayandnightcomfort.com. The difference is day and night.
All of them. Yes, Martin's Collision Repair checks all the boxes, including auto painting, windshield repair and replacement, and more. Hi, this is Tiago Martins. With a list like that, you'll come to the same conclusion over 50,000 Martin's customers have. You really have a lot going right for you at Martin's Collision Repair. Online at martinscollision.com, on State Street in Orem, and in Salem, we work with all insurance companies.
The right repair, the right paint, the right choice. Martin's Collision Repair.
Tim Hughes and Amanda Dixon here.
After you catch up on important stories on Utah's morning news,
we invite you to join in expanded Inside Sources in the afternoon.
Join Boyd Matheson from 1 to 3 afternoons
on KSL News Radio.
Traffic and weather together here at KSL News Radio, and traffic's looking great out there. Everything's cleaned up, looking good. There are no delays to report. Plan your next adventure in Cedar City. Enjoy national parks with Bryce and Zion nearby. Great restaurants, awesome spring skiing, hiking, biking, and more. Book your getaway today at visit cedarcity.com. KSL weather, we're going to see 80s the next couple of days. 50 overnight tonight, a few clouds tomorrow, 83 for a high. More clouds on Saturday, but we're still going to be in the 80s, 81. Right now, 70 and partly cloudy at KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM, 1160 AM, and KSLNewsRadio.com. This is Utah's all-day companion for news.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is KSL's unrivaled Alex Keery and Scott Mitchell. Thanks for being with us. Former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell, formerly drafted NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell. Of course, the draft night for Scott gave him many haunting feelings over the years, and our job as a show now is to really walk Scott through draft
day. I got over that, Alex. I was really in a good place with that until about right now.
Until I start bringing it back up again. Well, hey, don't worry, because the Jets are also on the clock, and apparently their pick is in. The Jets, of course, who picked Zach Wilson at number two, they have the 14th overall pick as well. Interested to see who they're going to add to the pickup tonight with Zach Wilson as well. So there's a lot going on here. We're anticipating at some point a call from Aaron Roderick, but apparently they're basically in the party zone there in Cleveland.
Yeah, it's don't hold your breath on that one.
It's been tough to get a hold of him. He's having a hard time finding a place where it's not super loud. So in the meantime, Scott, as we talk about these things, I want to get back to something that happened behind the scenes today. Almost an amazing trade situation. Like, it's the thing that I wake up on draft day, and it's not my team, so I don't care the weird stuff you do. But, I woke up and saw the tweet earlier this morning that Aaron Rodgers apparently has been floating it out there that he isn't necessarily wanting to be in Green Bay as much as he may have given off, right, in the offseason here. And the teams that have been thrown out there have been the Broncos, who just picked up Teddy Bridgewater. I don't know where that came from. The Raiders, interesting. And also the 49ers were in the mix. And then we heard reports that the 49ers had offered the third, the number three pick in the draft, plus a lot of other goodies, including a lot of other draft picks. Look, if you're the 49ers, give them your whole draft to get Aaron Rodgers, but they weren't out, the Packers were not going for it, and so they dodged a bullet, I guess. But in the end, are they dodging a bullet? It's a guy who seems like he is at least putting his name out there and saying he doesn't want to be a part of your organization, and he used draft day to try to lure himself out of there.
I wonder if this has been going on behind the scenes, and I wonder if Aaron Rodgers just tried to, like, jumpstart it a little bit more. Who knows? I mean, because just doing it on draft day seems a little bit late. Aaron Rodgers would be an absolute perfect fit for the 49ers. He's from that area. He fits very well into the system and what they do. And he's a proven commodity that who knows how many years. I mean, Aaron Rodgers still seems like he's got years left on him. The thing that I'm just baffled by is it's this almost epidemic of, since we're in pandemics and epidemics,
of these
quarterbacks like going, I'm not happy. Deshaun Watson's not happy. Russell Wilson's not happy. Tom Brady apparently was not happy.
Scott, you got that report wrong, because I read yesterday Pete Carroll said Russell Wilson has never been happier, okay?
Yeah,
I read the report.
Yeah. They have to say all this stuff now because he's still there.
I know. Okay?
I get it. But the thing is and then they see Tom Brady leave, and they go, gosh, he went to this other team that was really close. And he goes and wins a Super Bowl, and they're all going, all these guys think they can win a Super Bowl if they're just in the right situation, and so Tom Brady, you know, proved this out to be, and so I'm trying to understand what is behind all this. Why are these guys just, I mean, Green Bay, like, as far as organizations go, why are you so unhappy there? And the same thing in Seattle. I can understand Houston and all that stuff. But you know, I just don't understand why these guys are so adamant and vocal. Like, you know, it's not that they, you know, say it, but you know, you come out and publicly say it, and it doesn't happen. You're Aaron Rodgers. What do you do now? You know, because now you got to go play in front of all these fans, and it's like, you know, I was just joking. You know, like, oh, Pete Carroll's out there going, oh, you know, hey. He's very happy. There was never any discussion about any of this stuff, and so I just think I don't understand it to start with, and I wonder if it's related to Tom Brady, and I don't know. I don't know where it goes and what it means.
I mean, on a day like this, where everybody, you know, goes back and forth, and we start to kind of see some things start to materialize, and then they don't really. I was fully anticipating there was going to be, this crazy move, where somebody, I mean, just imagine the Green Bay Packers getting that number three pick because they gave up Aaron Rodgers, you know, and then Jordan Love is sitting there and going, he's probably reading those rumors going, this might be my chance. And then at the same time, you're also going, our team gets significantly worse. Our team gets significantly worse if we give up this Hall of Fame quarterback. I mean, it's part of the deal. To look at these deals, to see where a guy like Aaron Rodgers is maybe just is done with Green Bay, but as soon as you start to say, I might want to go somewhere else, that's when the fan base, especially in a place that's been so loyal to you forever, starts to maybe turn on you. The other thing that just happened, the Jets just picked up a guard. Elijah Vera Tucker out of USC.
This is a good deal.
This is a massive deal for a guy like Zach Wilson to be able to get an All-American guard out of USC. To hopefully bolster that offensive line for him. And if you're drafted second, and then the next pick that they use in the first round is a guy to protect you, you've got to feel pretty good about that.
Well, you'd like to feel. I mean, I don't want to be greedy here. Be nice if, you know, he's going to be a left tackle. I know he plays both positions, but if he's that guy, that's a nice pickup for the Jets. So these linemen that were in the draft this year. There aren't a lot of them, but the ones they have, they're, you know, these guys could be 15-plus year guys that, you know, perennial Pro Bowlers. I mean, there's some really, really, really talented guys.
Scott, they've done the thing. They showed Mac Jones. They've shown Mac Jones in the green room, because you have this elation on some sides of these things. Then you have Mac Jones looking around, holding his phone, kind of tapping his knee there. Joining us right now. On KSL's Unrivaled from Cleveland,
hey.
The offensive coordinator from BYU, Aaron Roderick, on the program here with us. Aaron Roderick, coach, thanks for being with us. Try to explain what tonight was like.
It was fun. It was pretty wild. This is my first time being here, and there's a lot of excitement, and there's also a lot of nerves, man. Like you just mentioned, Mac Jones. I feel for him or anybody that has the night maybe not go according to plan. You can definitely feel the stress as you walk by some of the families and stuff.
Yeah. The draft sucks, A-Rod. Let's just put it at that. It's just a brutal thing. I hate the draft. I don't even know why we have it, and I don't even want to talk about it, but
Scott
we're here.
Had to go home. The nachos got cold before he got
called. It's a long time
called.
Ago. It doesn't matter anymore. What I want to know is I've been so impressed, like, with Zach. Like, you know, I've watched him in high school, and I just – but there was a massive jump between his – you know, last year, his sophomore year, and this year, his junior year – and you were right in the middle of all of it. What was it? Was it his arm, or was it what? Tell me why he just, I mean, he just made a massive leap.
Yeah, I think it was a couple of things. The first thing was his sophomore year; he wasn't healthy, and he played injured. He had a shoulder that wasn't right. He came back from surgery too. It just wasn't right yet. And then breaks his hand in the middle of the season and has pins in his hand and only misses a couple of games. I think it was three games. And then comes back, but he probably should have just sat it out. He probably should have sat out that whole season, to be honest with you. Yeah. But he's such a competitor. He played, really wanted to play. And so he was a little up and down that year. And then he was still developing. I mean, I think we have to allow for quarterbacks to grow and make some mistakes, you know, and Zach was always a guy who wasn't afraid to try anything, but he was also really good at learning from his mistakes. And so yeah. I think what you saw this year was a healthy guy who had also learned a lot of football in his first 2 years in college. And then the game just really came together for him and slowed down. And then the other part of it was, he had a lot of good players around him this year. We were executing at a much higher level as a team than we were his first 2 years. And so that's a factor as well. And
you're throwing the ball more.
We were throwing it more, and we were throwing it more down the field too. We weren't just – like I told Jeff Grimes, I don't want to throw it more. I just want to throw it farther.
That's interesting.
So we started stretching
A-Rod,
the field
throw it more. Don't do that. Don't give in to those offensive linemen. Throw the ball more.
Yeah. Coach, one of the things that we wanted to – Mac Jones got picked up by the Patriots, by the way, in case you're holding your breath. So he just got picked by the Patriots. That's a good pickup for them. On a personal level, this is a guy you've worked with for the last few years. And to watch Zach there up close, I saw his family on TV. I saw him in his sharp suit, and I thought – oh, man, this is just a happy moment. What was it like on a personal level to see a guy that you helped develop get into that spot to get picked so high in the NFL draft?
Just joy, man, pure joy. I was really happy for him. You know, a year ago, he was fighting to prove that he was our starting quarterback. And let's be honest, we had some fans that were pretty hard on him. And there's a pretty high level of expectation at the quarterback position everywhere nowadays, but at BYU in general, I think the expectations are pretty tough. And he showed a lot of grit and a lot of toughness to battle through it, and just showed a lot of character too. I mean, he never flinched from it. He never acted entitled about it. He just said, yeah, okay, well, let's compete. Of course I got to compete. And so I'm happy for him because of that. That as much as anything, just the way he handled the adversity of being injured last year and the losing a couple of games that people thought we shouldn't have lost. And those about seeing someone have success, you know. And now it starts all over. You know,
now it's like you got a full quarterback room
like
to deal with now.
It's like a for me, and then it starts over for him too. You know,
sure.
You know,
yeah.
it's like a 50-50 deal for every guy who's drafted. And he and I were just talking about that today. Like, hey, now it's real. You know,
yeah.
This is going to be hard.
A-Rod, we appreciate you joining us, and thanks for getting a hold of us, and thanks for being there live with us from Cleveland. Good luck. We're going to be talking to you when the season gets closer, of course, because you've got a lot more quarterback questions to answer for us. That's Aaron Roderick from BYU.
Can BYU ever beat Utah? That's what I want.
No, that's
it's been
listen.
9 years.
Stop it. We're not going to do that. All right, we're going to take the break here. Sam Farnsworth is going to join us next from KSL5 Television as we go out here. Stay with us. More to go. More updates from the NFL Draft next on KSL News Radio.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. I'm Scott Mitchell. He's Alex Keery. Apparently, Peyton Manning ran into Trevor Lawrence at the Masters. And he actually said, look, you got to play every play next year. You tell Coach Meyer, you got to be in on every situation. You can't miss. Can't miss at all. He says, because someone's got to come in there and break my rookie interceptions in a season by a rookie quarterback. So make sure you're playing every down. And I actually agree with Peyton Manning just from the standpoint of, man, I think these quarterbacks today, you watch the pro days, you watch these guys are so well prepared to go play in the NFL.
What makes it different from like when you were preparing to go?
Just mechanically, physically, so much emphasis is put on the draft. And when I went in the draft, it was nothing like what it is right now.
Well,
so,
do you think that given all the things that you had talent wise, if you had all the same tools that the kids have nowadays, I say the kids, guys like Zach Wilson, you think about like quarterbacking schools and all these different things and different workouts and how much we've learned just about working out and all those things. Do you think you would have been in the same spot or even better with the?
I'd have been in a much better spot because I was the first year juniors came out of the draft. So they didn't really have all the in-depth scouting on players like they do now. And the year I came out wasn't as good a year as the year I had before. Had it been a year earlier, who knows where I would have gone in the draft because I had a phenomenal season. I had players ask me after the fact, say, look, if you could go back, what would you do different? And I said, I would prepare for the combine and for the draft completely different. I didn't understand the significance of it. I wasn't really as prepared for it as I could have been. And absolutely, I would have. And I was in a tough situation at Utah because I was on an island. Like, there was no one there to help me, support me. I was just, I was out there all alone. So I just had to figure it out. And these guys, they go, like, Zach Wilson went to California right as the season was over. And he's working out and he's training and he's doing everything he can. So when he does his pro day, it's like, he's really shining and I just didn't have the good fortune of even knowing that at the time.
One of the things that I've watched during all this is all these guys, how mature they are, how mature they have to be. I mean, it's pretty rare nowadays that you get guys who are knuckleheads. You're still going to get that. But the allowance of knuckleheadery, is that a thing that you guys performed in your day? The amount of goofing off and messing around and almost screwing up your life, that happened a lot more because now everybody's under the microscope. All these guys have to be on their best behavior all the time. And that's the part that I think a lot of guys would have just been weeded out from your class. A lot of those guys who are like, we knew they had their issues, but we barely knew about them because of how, your social media is just an absolute magnifying glass now. As we watch the Cowboys, who took the number 12 draft pick, and they get themselves a linebacker in the process of that 12th pick from the Eagles, is who I think they got the draft pick from. I was thinking about this too, Scott, with the Cowboys making that pick there, and they showed the war room, and I thought, what a difference a year makes in this draft. There are people in Cleveland. There are people in Cleveland.
Jimmy's
now they have them kind of semi socially distanced there inside that arena there in Cleveland.
And this is a good pick for the Cowboys too.
It's a
great pick.
Well,
for them.
I think that you know Sean Lee just retired, and so now they look at it and they pick up Micah Parsons out of Penn State. This is a guy who could have been the number one overall pick, and it probably wouldn't have been a dumb pick.
Again, they just keep seeing these really good players that are picked. You know, this is a huge get for the Cowboys. You know, for a lot of reasons, he's a guy that will make plays for him. But going back a little bit, the Bears taking Justin Fields, that might be the best pick in the draft. Seriously, the Bears are so close in so many ways, and they need a little bit more consistent play from the quarterback. They got Andy Dalton, and they're going to have this young quarterback, Justin Fields. There's not going to be the pressure to play him. He's going to go to a good football team. He's going to be, he's going to be in the Midwest, you know, kind of close to Ohio State a little bit. The Bears fans they're going to be excited about Justin Fields. And the Bears haven't really been good at picking quarterbacks in the past. And this almost feels like this is a non-pressure pick for them. Like, I don't think there's the expectation. And I don't think that, I know he feels bad. I just know he feels bad. I know how it is when you think you're going to go somewhere and you go somewhere else and you feel like no one likes you. You feel like, oh, man, I'm garbage, you know. And that goes away quickly. I mean, because then you get rage, or you get like, you know, I want to prove everybody wrong kind of thing. And then you start to go, awesome, this is my opportunity. This is my chance. And I'm going to go make it happen. And you do. And so there'll be a lot of fun players to actually watch and see what happens with them as this after this draft and as they get into their careers.
Scott, we have just a few more minutes here, and this is normally where we do this in the show. It's our Unrivaled MVP, so let's just jump right in here.
KSL's Unrivaled. The Unrivaled MVP. Scott and Alex crown tonight's most valuable player, according to Scott.
Uh-huh.
According to Alex.
Most valuable player.
All right. Scott, you want to go first here on the old MVPs? I don't know who you're going to have, but...
My MVP was the Utah Jazz.
Oh, my heavens, we haven't even talked about the Jazz yet. It's been all draft coverage,
well,
man.
It's something we should talk about.
Oh, my goodness. Did you watch that game last night?
They scored a record high 154 points ever.
I didn't realize that's
the most that they've ever scored.
I didn't know that either. I mean, it's an extremely high number. But you know what happened to me, too, is I was watching it. It looked like the Harlem Globetrotters, Washington Generals, you know, where it's like put in whomever. They just start throwing up threes, and they're not just going in; they're just falling through the rim with touching nothing but the net. And mine is very similar because 154 to 105. I sent my kid to bed at the end of the third quarter. I said, "Look, they've got 116 points at the end of three quarters. You're not going to miss anything." And he missed a couple of things. The highest points total ever scored by the Jazz in a game, franchise record. This is after abysmal offensive stretches too in these last two games against the Minnesota Timberwolves. They needed that as a boost.
Yeah, and it just felt like, you know, they couldn't miss. I mean, it was insane. It was a great win for them in the fact that Donovan Mitchell didn't play, Mike Conley didn't play, and you like to see, you know, you like to see a rebound. And this is a little bit probably the toughest stretch for the Jazz the rest of the season here, where they got these three road games in a row and of course, ending with Phoenix on Friday night. But I love the rebound. I love when the team comes back and answers when they've shot so poorly the last couple of games. And you almost feel like they're just due for this. You know, it's like, okay, they missed so many the last couple of games. They're just due for this opportunity to just kind of have this explosive.
Well, that's what,
and I'd prefer to have a little bit more consistency, and I think that's what they've been. But felt like the Jazz were going to pull it out.
It's fortuitous you picked the Jazz, because I actually was picking Matt Thomas for the Utah Jazz.
Oh,
if you watched the game last night, Matt Thomas, he was picked up in the trade before the trade deadline, and he is a quote unquote sharpshooter out of Toronto. They picked him up. He's a guy who played with George Niang, right, at Iowa State.
Right.
They played together in college. They were roommates in college. So you go, okay, let's see what's going on. And he just has been getting no minutes. And when he does get in, he's just missing shots and everything. And he was 7 for 7 last night. And he had 14 points, or he had 17 points. He just kept throwing those threes up, and they were just falling, man. It was amazing. So the Jazz get the MVP from Scott. Matt Thomas gets the MVP from me. So we're going to take the break here. We'll come back. Sam Farnsworth from KSL5 Television is going to join us. We're going to talk a little bit about what this whole draft has meant for his ridiculous Denver Broncos, and see if they can finally turn things around. Stay with us. More to go. It's KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio.
KSL's Unrivaled. The teams you live for. The sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery and Scott Mitchell. Thanks for being with us. Former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell. Formerly drafted NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell. Of course, the draft night for Scott gave him many haunting feelings over the years. And our job as a show now is to really walk Scott through draft
day. I got over that, Alex. I was really in a good place with that until now.
I start bringing it back up again. Well, hey, don't worry, because the Jets are also on the clock, and apparently their pick is in. The Jets, of course, who picked Zach Wilson at number 2, they have the 14th overall pick as well. Interested to see who they're going to add to the pickup tonight with Zach Wilson as well. So there's a lot going on here. We're anticipating at some point a call from Aaron Roderick, but apparently they're basically in the party zone there in Cleveland.
Yeah, don't hold your breath on that one.
It's been tough to get a hold of him. He's having a hard time finding a place where it's not super loud. So in the meantime, Scott, as we talk about these things, I want to get back to something that happened behind the scenes today. Almost an amazing trade situation. Like, it's the thing that I wake up on draft day, and it's not my team, so I don't care the weird stuff you do. But, I woke up and saw the tweet earlier this morning that Aaron Rodgers apparently has been floating it out there that he isn't necessarily wanting to be in Green Bay as much as he may have given off, right, in the offseason here. And the teams that have been thrown out there have been the Broncos, who just picked up Teddy Bridgewater. I don't know where that came from. The Raiders, interesting. And also the 49ers were in the mix. And then we heard reports that the 49ers had offered the number 3 pick in the draft, plus a lot of other goodies, including a lot of other draft picks. Look, if you're the 49ers, give them your whole draft to get Aaron Rodgers, but they weren't out. The Packers were not going for it, and so they dodged a bullet, I guess. But in the end, are they dodging a bullet? It's a guy who seems like he is at least putting his name out there and saying he doesn't want to be a part of your organization, and he used draft day to try to lure himself out of there.
I wonder if this has been going on behind the scenes, and I wonder if Aaron Rodgers just tried to, like, jump-started a little bit more. Who knows? I mean, because just doing it on draft day seems a little bit late. Aaron Rodgers would be an absolute perfect fit for the 49ers. He's from that area. He fits very well into the system and what they do. And he's a proven commodity that who knows how many years. I mean, Aaron Rodgers still seems like he's got years left on him. The thing that I'm just baffled by is it's this almost epidemic of, since we're in pandemics and epidemics,
of these
quarterbacks, like, going, I'm not happy. Deshaun Watson's not happy. Russell Wilson's not happy. Tom Brady apparently was not happy.
Scott, you got that report wrong, because I read yesterday Pete Carroll said Russell Wilson has never been happier, okay?
Yeah,
I read the report.
Yeah. They have to say all this stuff now because he's still there.
I know.
Okay? I get it. But the thing is And then they see Tom Brady leave, and they go, gosh, he went to this other team that was really close, and he goes and wins a Super Bowl. And they're all going, all these guys think they can win a Super Bowl if they're just in the right situation. And so Tom Brady, you know, proved this out to be. And so I'm trying to understand what is behind all this. Why are these guys just, I mean, Green Bay, like, as far as organizations go, why are you so unhappy there? And the same thing in Seattle. I can understand Houston and all that stuff, but you know, I just don't understand why these guys are so adamant and vocal. Like, you know, it's not that they, you know, say it, but, you know, you come out and publicly say it, and it doesn't happen. You're Aaron Rodgers. What do you do now? You know, because now you got to go play in front of all these fans, and it's like, you know, I was just joking, you know, like, oh, Pete Carroll's out there going, oh, you know, hey, he's very happy. There was never any discussion about any of this stuff. And so I just think, I don't understand it to start with. And I wonder if it's related to Tom Brady. And I don't know. I don't know where it goes and what it means.
I mean, on a day like this, where everybody, you know, goes back and forth, and we start to kind of see some things start to materialize, and then they don't really. I was fully anticipating there was going to be, you know, this crazy move, you know, where somebody. I mean, just imagine the Green Bay Packers getting that number 3 pick because they gave up Aaron Rodgers, you know, and then Jordan Love is sitting there and going, he's probably reading those rumors, going, this might be my chance. And then at the same time, you're also going, our team gets significantly worse. Our team gets significantly worse if we give up this Hall of Fame quarterback. I mean, it's part of the deal to look at these deals, to see where a guy like Aaron Rodgers is maybe just is done with Green Bay. But as soon as you start to say, I might want to go somewhere else, that's when the fan base, especially in a place that's been so loyal to you forever, starts to maybe turn on you. The other thing that just happened, the Jets just picked up a guard. Elijah Vera Tucker out of USC.
This is a good deal.
This is a massive deal for a guy like Zach Wilson to be able to get an All-American guard out of USC to hopefully bolster that offensive line for him. And if you're drafted second, and then the next pick that they use in the first round is a guy to protect you, you've got to feel pretty good about that.
Well, you'd like to feel. I mean, I don't want to be greedy here. Be nice if, you know, he's going to be a left tackle. I know he plays both positions, but you know, if he's that guy, that's a nice pickup for the Jets. So these linemen that were in the draft this year, there aren't a lot of them, but the ones they have, they're, you know, these guys could be 15-plus year guys that, you know, perennial Pro Bowlers. I mean, there's some really, really, really talented guys.
Scott, they've done the thing. They showed Mac Jones. They've shown Mac Jones in the green room, because you have this elation on some sides of these things. Then you have Mac Jones looking around, holding his phone, kind of tapping his knee there. Joining us right now on KSL's Unrivaled from Cleveland,
hey,
the offensive coordinator from BYU, Aaron Roderick, on the program here with us. Aaron Roderick, coach, thanks for being with us. Try to explain what tonight was like.
It was fun. It was pretty wild. This is my first time being here, and so there's a lot of excitement, and there's also a lot of nerves, man. Like you just mentioned Mac Jones, I feel for him or anybody that you know, has the night maybe not go according to plan. You can definitely feel the stress as you walk by some of the families and stuff.
Yeah, the draft sucks, A-Rod. Let's just put it at that. It's just a brutal thing. I hate the draft. I don't even know why we have it, and I don't even want to talk about it. But
Scott,
we're here.
Had to go home. The nachos got cold before he got called.
It's a long time ago. It doesn't matter anymore. What I want to know is I've been so impressed. Like with Zach, like, you know, I've watched him in high school but there was a massive jump between his, you know, last year, his sophomore year, and this year, his junior year. And you were right in the middle of all of it. What was it? Was it his arm, or was it what? Tell me why he just, I mean, he just made a massive leap.
Yeah. I think it was a couple of things. The first thing was his sophomore year, he wasn't healthy, and He played injured. He had a shoulder that wasn't right. He came back from surgery too. It just wasn't right yet. And then breaks his hand in the middle of the season and has pins in his hand and only misses a couple of games. I think it was three games. And then comes back, but he probably should have just sat it out. He probably should have sat out that whole season, to be honest with you. Yeah. But he's such a competitor. He played, really wanted to play. And so he was a little up and down that year. And then he was still developing. I mean, I think we have to allow for quarterbacks to grow and make some mistakes, you know. And Zach was always a guy who wasn't afraid to try anything, but he was also really good at learning from his mistakes. And so yeah. I think what you saw this year was a healthy guy who had also learned a lot of football in his first 2 years in college. And then the game just really came together for him and slowed down. And then the other part of it was he had a lot of good players around him this year. We were executing at a much higher level as a team than we were his first 2 years. And so that's a factor as well. And
you're throwing the ball more.
We were throwing it more, and we were throwing it more down the field too. We weren't just – like I told Jeff Grimes, I don't want to throw it more. I just want to throw it farther.
That's interesting.
We started stretching the field.
Throw it more. Don't do that. don't give in to those offensive linemen. Throw the ball more.
Yeah. Coach, one of the things that we wanted to Mac Jones got picked up by the Patriots, by the way, in case you're holding your breath. So he just got picked by the Patriots. That's a good pickup for them. On a personal level, this is a guy you've worked with for the last few years, and to watch Zach – they're up close. I saw his family on TV. I saw him in his sharp suit, and I thought, oh, man, this is just a happy moment. What was it like on a personal level to see a guy that you helped develop get into that spot to get picked so high in the NFL draft?
Just joy, man, pure joy. I was really happy for him. You know, a year ago, he was fighting to prove that he was our starting quarterback, And let's be honest, we had some fans that were pretty hard on him, and there's a pretty high level of expectation at the quarterback position everywhere nowadays. But at BYU in general, I think the expectations are pretty tough. And he showed a lot of grit and a lot of toughness to battle through it, and just showed a lot of character too. I mean, he never flinched from it. He never acted entitled about it. He just said, "Yeah, okay, well, let's compete. Of course, I got to compete." And so I'm happy for him because of that. That as much as anything, just the way he handled the adversity of being injured last year and losing a couple of games that people thought we shouldn't have lost. And those about seeing someone have success, you know. And now it starts all over. You know,
now it's like, you got a full quarterback room to deal with now.
For me, and then it starts over for him too. You know, it's like a 50-50 deal for every guy who's drafted. And he and I were just talking about that today. Like, hey, now it's real. You know, this is gonna be hard.
A-Rod, we appreciate you joining us, and thanks for getting a hold of us, and thanks for being there live with us from Cleveland. Good luck. We're going to be talking to you when the season gets closer, of course, because you've got a lot more quarterback questions to answer for us. That's Aaron Roderick from BYU.
Can BYU ever beat Utah? That's what I want.
No,
it's been 9 years.
Stop it. We're not going to do that. All right, we're going to take the break here. Sam Farnsworth's going to join us next from KSL5 Television as we go out here. Stay with us. More to go. More updates from the NFL Draft next on KSL News Radio.
KSL's Unrivaled, the Unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium grade A pro football stories from your two hosts, a former NFL quarterback and
the other guy.
It's the Unrivaled NFL Roundup.
All right, welcome back to the old program here. Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery, this is KSL's Unrivaled. Thank you so much for joining us. Fun night. This is an awesome night here at the draft, and we make fun of it and all this stuff. I got to tell you something that happened to me, though, Alex. It was funny. I was in the grocery store, a Harmon's, right? So I'm checking out, and there's the checker and the bag person, and
that's a front end clerk, by the way. That's not a bag person.
Whatever.
I was in that union, by the way.
Whatever.
So front stop end it.
Person, whomever it was, whatever it was, not important to the story.
Oh, okay.
So the person says to me, all I need is your autograph and you can go. And so the person who put my groceries in the bag was a young girl. Mm-hmm. And she says, yeah, give him your autograph. Who knows? Maybe someday you'll be famous.
Hey, look at that.
And I looked at her and I said, I already am famous.
We're back. And we're back, everybody. So Scott initially was showing signs of humility earlier in the program. And we're back, everybody.
She goes, who are you? Said, I'll bet you want to know, don't you? And walked out the door.
Yeah, there you go. That's pretty funny.
I thought that was funny.
That's when you go.
If your first answer is co-host of KSL.
No. It should be, I'm Post Malone. You don't recognize me? I'm out of here. Famous rapper, Post Malone.
Hundreds of people know me on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. That's for sure. So joining us on the program right now is Sam Farnsworth from KSL 5 Television. Yes, the NFL Roundup at a different time tonight because we've just been basically doing it all night anyway. Mm-hmm. Sam, shocks from the draft so far, pretty standard. I mean, I know that everybody's waiting to see those first picks to see where everyone – I think the biggest question mark was, of course, the 49ers, who as early as – or as late as early this morning were like, hey, Aaron Rodgers, you want to come play for us? We're trying to figure that out.
Right.
And at the same time, the idea of Aaron Rodgers not being that happy in Green Bay or wanting to move from Green Bay also started to hit people pretty hard and wondering if that could make some movement in the draft. And it ultimately, Mac Jones gets picked 15th by the Patriots instead of third or fourth.
Fourth Alabama player picked in the first round.
Yes, in the first round, the first 15 picks. No problem. So,
no wonder they won the national championship.
First thoughts here, and then I'll get to where your heart is at, which is with your Denver Broncos.
Yeah. So first thoughts. One thing I love about the NFL draft and the first round specifically is that there's always surprises, right? You can do your own mocks. You can read everyone else's mock. There's a reason why people do like 5 mock drafts, right? Because they're just taking a stab at 5 different scenarios.
It's like having 10, of your brackets in the NCAA tournament. You go, oh, I picked that
fifth and one. And no one's going to get it 100% right because there's always going to be some kind of trade, some shocking moves somewhere along the way. According to Adam Schefter, the 49ers coaches didn't even know who they were taking until the pick was announced. And then, according to the NBC Sports Network Bay Area guy, Kyle Shanahan's known all along since they made the trade back in March to the number 3 pick, right? So there's always these scenarios and reports and, suddenly the Broncos are a big contender for Aaron Rodgers. Oh, that must mean they're going to trade back from 9. Oh, no, they're still there on the clock at 9, so they are going to take a quarterback. No, they're going to take a cornerback, and so... there's always shocking moves. Yeah, Justin Fields falling as far as he did to 10th at the Bears, I think that might be the biggest shock. There's multiple teams that I thought would have definitely taken a stab at Justin Fields, but they didn't. They passed on him, and he fell to where he did. So as of right now, I don't think Mac Jones falling to 15 is a shock. I thought it was more of a shock that the Niners were interested in him at number 3,
yeah,
right?
I agree, yeah.
So I think Mac Jones at 15 to the Patriots is actually a really good pick for both
That's
sides.
That's an awesome pick.
Yeah.
Shocker is that Belichick actually drafted a quarterback. That's the shocker part.
Yeah, there you go. So for me, the biggest shock of round 1 to this point is that Justin Fields lasted as long as he did. And top 10 pick. He's still doing
it. So
that.
Are you calling this a shocking draft? Is that what you're trying to say, Sam?
Get the headlines out. Let's go.
No.
I don't know if you know this. One of the products of today, by the way, that I've been toggling between annoyed and jealous and like happy for the guy. I don't know if you know this, but Zach Wilson uses Verizon. I don't know if you know this.
Yeah, no kidding.
But he uses Verizon.
Yes, yes. Good for him.
And he wears Bose headphones.
And he eats
Chipotle bowls. And he's going to smoke all of his meats on Traegers. Yeah. And he's got Nike shoes.
Yep.
The amount of
Armani
tweets.
Suit.
Yes, the amount of tweets that he's been sending out of all the stuff. I mean, you can't help but go get it, kid.
Yeah,
go get all the stuff,
but,
man.
But that's
he's
why.
Making money.
That's why. All these players, you talk about the Utah Jazz in a small market. That's why all these players want to go to these large markets for opportunities just like that. I mean, the chance to market yourself and financially, you may make more money from stuff you're doing off the field than you actually do on. And it's because you can't get bigger than New York. I mean, maybe if you're the Giants, maybe that's a bigger deal, but. Mm-hmm. If he wins with the Jets and he's a quarterback, oh my goodness, it's just, and when you saw that face today, woo, just like, I mean, Zach Wilson is, he's a marketer's dream.
Yes. In that Armani suit, he's everything New York. There's everything, right? Everything a New York, marketer, just like you said, marketing, it's everything they want out there. Now he just needs to win. If he wins, then you're looking at, similar to Joe Namath in his heyday, right? With you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
I wonder if he'll wear the pantyhose like Joe did. I'm still concerned with the Maserati, though. Because he's not going to be able to drive it.
No, of course like, not. But that's a move.
You know? Driving in New Jersey.
That's a move that you make. You know, I mean, that's the thing, too. You think about this guy at, what is he, 21? Is he 21 yet even? I mean, he's 21, I think. But he's got all these deals in the works. And like you said, if he goes to Cleveland, I doubt he gets these. I mean, he's actually in Cleveland. But if he goes to the Browns, these deals don't pop up. Verizon's not going to hit you up to be like, right, you know, the guy, the spokesman for their 5G network, you know. They want the biggest market, you know, to be able to make that biggest impact there. And all day he's been tweeting out all this stuff. Okay.
And that's you know.
Another Alabama player has been drafted.
Yeah, Alex Leatherwood, their offensive tackle, just went to the Raiders. So the Raiders pick up a tackle.
Those advertisement tweets, they will cool down pretty quickly.
Oh, come on.
They will.
I would hope so. At some point, you have to actually tweet out real stuff.
It's just
stuff.
Like you've got the hot new commodity, and there's no time to do commercials.
Right.
Tweet.
Well, one of the funny things that I saw today was, had to share this moment because he helped me get this far with Coach Kalani. So glad Verizon got us to connect. And he made the call, and I'm like, Kalani's actually like 20 feet from you, man. Just go over and talk to him. He's in Cleveland.
And that photo was taken by a professional photographer.
No, he's looking out the window.
In the nice suit.
Yeah. No, it's probably filtered, too.
Good for Zach Wilson.
That's what I think, too.
Good for him. Exactly.
Cash all those checks,
man. Capitalize. Yeah.
Okay. Now you're Broncos, as we now have a minute left.
Yeah.
Teddy Bridgewater shows up. That's the best quarterback move you guys have made in years.
Well, they could have made a better one today.
Oh, today with Aaron Rodgers?
But could have, would have, should have.
Yeah, you know? Apparently the Packers are calling the bluff on Rodgers, and they're going to wait and see what happens. That's the latest report I saw. So we'll see. Patrick Surtain, he's going to be a star. He's going to be a star. But the Broncos have had 10 first-round picks. Their last 10 first-round picks, they have never addressed quarterback.
Wow.
It's got to happen someday. When Fields is there, what are you doing?
Sam's going to be on TV tonight on KSL5 television. You're going to see all that draft coverage. You're going to see the moment Zach Wilson was drafted. Mm-hmm. Plus, I know that we are picking up some video of them changing the mural down there in Provo
to
Jet Green. So, very cool. Sam, thanks for hanging out, man.
Thanks, guys.
We'll talk to you again. Hey, Mitch Harper, BYU Insider, is going to join us next right here on KSL's Unrivaled. Stay with us.
Oh, what a night. Welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. I am Scott Mitchell. He's Alex Keery. And this music, it's been fitting definitely for the night. It's the NFL draft. And, of course, Zach Wilson was drafted number 2 by the New York Jets. J-E-T-S. Jets. Yeah. And what a day. What an exciting. This to me, I don't know, feels like one of the more exciting drafts. I'm not sure why, but it just seemed to have, maybe it was just there's so much local interest and everything going on with it.
It's exactly this, that. I mean, like, when you see these drafts go, Scott, and you go, oh, yeah, great.
Okay, that's a good pick for them.
Fun pick. Yeah. Hey, they should be pretty fun. Like, honestly, as soon as they're picked, now it's a countdown to see what he looks like in the limited, camp stuff that they're going to have, because there's a lot of things that are not going to be happening in person. Then you start thinking, oh, maybe they should have more preseason games. I want to see what Zach Wilson looks like. We got to get this guy ready. And my son, you know, said it today. He goes, so who's your favorite NFL team today? Because it seems like you're always changing. And he goes, well, definitely still a Patriots guy, still hanging on, you know. And I think he's like, they'll get a good quarterback. He even said they might get Mac Jones. I said, yeah, maybe. And they did. They got Mac Jones tonight. But he was like, my second favorite team will be whoever Zach Wilson gets drafted by.
Nice. That's how this works.
That's how this works.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the heartbeat of the 12-year-olds in this area that are BYU fans, is somebody who goes, yeah, wherever you go. Like, this is how, when you're a kid and someone goes, yeah, for some reason I started cheering for the Jets because Zach Wilson got picked by him and he had a couple good years for him or whatever, but then you end up being a fan for life. I know Jets fans who live in Utah, and they had no reason to be Jets fans before. And some of them still have no reason to be Jets fans because a lot of them are Ute fans than I am. But you know, fandom has no rhyme or reason, and this at least has some sort of a definite like kind of line of how you got to be that fan. So, Scott, this music's playing. What do we do when this music's playing usually?
Well, what we do is, like a football game, you got to hurry down the field and score a touchdown, kick field goal late. I don't have a lot of time, so you got to hurry. Our show's the same way. Still got a lot to talk about, but not a lot of time, so we talk a little bit about a lot of things. We hurry down, finish the show, go home happy because we get a trophy, because everyone gets a trophy, because it's Participationville that we live in, with a mask, and we get a COVID shot.
Scott, did your parents weigh in a lot on your on and off the field, you know, kind of way? Or did they say, hey, we're going to let you do your thing? I know that you had a moment where your grandma may have read your lips on the screen during a game, but Major League pitcher Tyler Glasnow.
Wait, did they weigh in a lot? You're asking me a question.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Did they weigh in like this? Like Tyler Glasnow's mom has told him to stop swearing while pitching.
Oh, well,
and
yes,
I thought, that's,
of course.
That's, I feel like that's a very Sister Mitchell thing to do.
I dressed up like my coach for Halloween, and that went viral when things didn't go viral.
There was no such thing as viral.
It would have been viral in today's
right?
world.
Oh, it would have been bad.
And my parents were, my dad was just like, really? Didn't we raise you better than that?
I mean, okay.
Seriously. And they thought I was drunk. Because I act so goofy. And I've never had a drink in my life. And they were like, have you, you know, what's going on?
I said, no. I'm just a weirdo. That's it.
Yeah, just having a little fun at my coach's expense. That's all.
Well, Tyler Glasnow's mom has reached out and told him to stop swearing while he's on the mound. She reminded him that when you're the starting pitcher for a Major League Baseball team, at some point the camera isn't just close on you. Your mouth is usually in slow motion as you walk off the mound for good or bad. I mean, so she's asked him, for the kid's sake, would you please just stop swearing
just
on the mound?
Cover your mouth with
please.
Your glove.
I've got quite the interesting NFL tidbit here for you, Scott. Former Florida quarterback, former Heisman Trophy winner, former national champion, Tim Tebow, has been working out at tight end for his old coach, Urban Meyer, down there in Jacksonville. Oh, my goodness. Is this just a friend throwing another guy a bone and saying, yeah, sure, I'll run you through some of these drills as tight end? Finally, he's starting to embrace the fact that he's not a quarterback, at least.
Well, that ship certainly has sailed, and I guess, you know, Major League Baseball wasn't really going to pan out.
Already retired, yes.
And it's like, I'm still young. You know, I might as well try something. And there's a real – I mean, Tim Tebow was very fast and very strong. He was a great runner.
Yeah.
And he has the ability to have some offensive explosion. I think it's a great thing. And, you know, it's taken a lot of time for Tim Tebow to kind of have enough humility to go, yeah, probably wasn't a quarterback ever to begin with.
Hold on. I'm going to do something real quick. Hold on. I'm going to do something. Siri, how old is Tim Tebow?
Oh.
Yeah, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. Let me see if
Well, and I'll continue. And so Taysom Hill has had tremendous success as the Swiss Army knife, the multifaceted handyman. I mean, amazing. And he's made a lot of money. I think Tim Tebow goes, you know, I can make a lot of money being that type of player and have some tremendous value for a football team. He's got a guy in Urban Meyer who will probably, you know, go to the end of the world for him. You know, he won a national championship with him and a Heisman Trophy. I mean, this was a remarkable player for Urban. So
Scott, this is I'm so mad for you.
Is he even 30 yet?
He's 33. I'm so mad for you though. Here's why I'm mad for you, because Tim Tebow was put up on a list higher than you for best left-handed quarterbacks ever.
No one would have known this. Unless you brought it up.
No, but you've brought it up with me before, but I wanted to say this. Here's why I'm incensed. His completion rate is less than 50% for his career.
Yeah.
He threw 17 touchdowns and 10 interceptions for his career.
Yeah.
His passing yard total is like a third of a season for you, 2,200 yards. For his career. I mean, that is insane to think that they put him higher up on the list. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's because of Sports Illustrated. It's because of Peter King, isn't it?
I don't know what it is, to be honest with you, but whatever it is, who cares?
Well,
I
mean, oh, sure. Long past. You don't care, right? You don't care.
I have to not care, Alex, I can't sleep at night.
Did we talk about this already? Antonio Brown signed up to be with the Buccaneers again. So when
I think it's awesome for the Bucs and getting him for an entire year,
right?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised he has a Pro Bowl type of year. Seems like he's got his problems in the past.
Okay.
And hasn't burned, I don't know what he burned his feet off or something when he was with the Raider.
he put it on
chirurgically froze his
feet. Right. He's like, give me the dry ice and I'll just strap it to my feet. Thanks.
You know what's interesting, though? And what? I'm going to segue against Antonio Brown.
No, I like it.
But going back to Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence, he's already been being indoctrinated into their system before the draft. And apparently whatever he was doing was legal, but a lot of this stuff was over the phone. And so he was learning. So they knew. And this was back in like January, February, when all this stuff happened. And I think that's awesome. I mean, I think it's awesome on their part. I think it's awesome on his part that they go, yeah, we're going to get a jump start on all this stuff. And I wouldn't be surprised if that hasn't already happened with Zach Wilson, or it certainly will right now.
Scott, we found out last week that Rudy Gobert is very competitive when it comes to ping pong at his house.
Yes.
And he buys very expensive ping pong paddles. So this relates to it.
It's a thing.
That's right. Tom Hanks, the actual ping pong that was used in the filming of Forrest Gump, that of course helped fix the relations between China and the U.S. during the movie, fetched a whopping $25,600 at auction. The person who won the auction at Julian's Auctions is anonymous. Do we think that Rudy Gobert won the $25,000 that he paid? Look, he's got the cash, obviously.
I think we should just say yes, because that's
might
an
as
awesome.
Well.
Yeah, because that's a great story.
And look,
yeah.
I mean, that's the one. 25, he used.
Is it really the ping pong?
It's the one that was used in the filming. Yes, yes, yes. Wow. And it's a Butterfly brand, which is like one of the nice ones. Plus, I think he was the Butterfly spokesperson in the movie for the Butterfly ping pong paddle brand.
See, my kids play Sting Pong.
What's that? Is that like butts up?
You lift up the back of your shirt, and they get to hit the ping pong ball at your back as
Sting
hard
pong.
As they can.
You know what? Pong. I'm introducing this as soon as I get home tonight to the kids.
So I bought 40 ping pong balls, and they're all just destroyed, gone.
They've been slammed into the backs of teenagers across.
I thought that would last for a lifetime.
All right,
it was like a week.
Scott Mitchell, did you have fun tonight?
Yes, I did.
Quite a draft.
Actually,
night.
Enjoyed watching the draft tonight.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
so
not bad.
The draft continues tomorrow. We'll have more coverage talking about whoever gets picked up, and we'll see you on tomorrow's edition of KSL's Unrivaled for a weekend. What are the odds? And a lot of the like. So stay with us. We'll see you then, everybody. Download the podcast if you miss any of the show. For Scott, I'm Alex. See you then, everybody.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.